Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. That belief is based on the Word of God that says we are born spiritually dead and that we can't free ourselves. He goes on, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. The Holy Spirit turns on the light of faith. I don't know if I shared this with you, but in confirmation class a couple months ago, we were talking about this part of the creed, and I was explaining that, you know, our ability to save ourselves, to come to faith in Christ, is nil. It's like sitting in our classroom. I had turned off the lights and telling one of the students to turn the lights on, but you can't get out of your seat. You can't use a stick. You can't do anything to get over to the switch. Now, this is really cool. This is one of the first times it happened this way. We have a special switch in that room. Thanks, Tom, for making sure that's in there. Because somebody moved, and the lights went on, and one girl's eyes were big as saucers. And then I explained to her, yep, that's that automatic light, that's movement-sensing light switch. But that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. We don't even move in the right direction to get him to work in us. He comes and gives us faith. And for most of us, that happened at a place like that, a baptismal font, where through the water and the word of baptism, God gave faith. It's a miracle. How many of you were baptized as babies? I see a lot of hands. Guess what? I bet you're like me, you can't remember a day when you have not known the love of Christ. There were days we weren't as close to him, but I can't remember a day when I have not known that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And it all started there. I love the way Peter put it. In the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, to being saved in the ark, look what he says next, now saves you. That was a baptism here at St. Paul's. And I love the picture of the water just flowing, the water and the word. And it's all because of what you see behind around my neck. Jesus blessing that little one with a gift of faith. The Holy Spirit working in that little one. And as Peter continues, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gift of faith that God gives to him. Now, Jesus makes a comparison, helping Nicodemus and us to understand what he's talking about when he says, for God so loved the world. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's the picture of the bronze serpent being lifted up. If people looked to it, after being bitten by the snakes, they would live. If they didn't, they would die. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. We look to him. Our theme verse for this year, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on him. We look to him because he is the one who has freed us not from snake bites, from earthly serpents, but the snake bite from Satan, whose lies and temptation, as we saw last week, are meant to pull us away from God, to lead us to eternal damnation. But we can listen to God instead, because the Holy Spirit has worked in us. We have been born again. How can I be saved? The question for today? Well, simply believe the good news. In fact, the good news is this. God loves you. How does John 3:16 start? For God so loved the world. You can make that personal. Here it is. For God so loved you. There's the cross again. For God so loved the world means the betrayal of Jesus, God's only Son, for you. For God so loved the world means the denial of Jesus by Peter, God, for you. For God so loved the world means the false accusations spoken against Jesus, God's only Son, for you. For God so loved the world means the mocking of Jesus, God's only Son, for you. Notice I'm listing the things we focus on during the season of Lent. All that Jesus went through for us, especially Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. For God so loved the world means the whipping of Jesus, God's only Son, for you. For God so loved the world means the cruel crown of thorns placed upon his head, the head of God's only Son, for you. For God so loved the world means the nails driven through the hands and feet of Jesus, God's only Son, for you. For God so loved the world means 6 hours of agony suffered on the cross by Jesus, God's only Son, for you. For God so loved the world means that he was forsaken by his Father for you. For God so loved the world means the substitutionary of Jesus, God's only Son, the substitutionary death for you. For God so loves the world means repentant sinners are forgiven and promised, guaranteed heaven through their faith in Jesus, God's only Son, and that promise is yours. Knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, loving Jesus, following Jesus, turning to Jesus in life's dark moments means that you are born again. Born of water and the Spirit. Born again through baptism into God's holy family. Or later on in life, as you heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit did the same thing for you as an older person as he did for a baby. Gave you the gift of faith. Turned on the light of faith. And brought you into the family of God. You were born again into the peace, protection, and promise of Jesus, God's only Son. The question again is, how can I be saved? Well, no one can save himself. God the Father has squarely placed the responsibility of eternal salvation upon the shoulders of Jesus. It is just that. It's far too important for us to mess it up. I love the way Paul put it in Ephesians 2. Because he reminds us that this is the greatest act of love, greatest act of grace and mercy the world has ever known. Let's take a look. And notice as we read this verse, what's behind it? Water, reminding us again of our baptism. Let's read this together. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you trusting in Jesus? This is God's gift to you. He's done it all for you. Your baptism reminds you are born again. And those again baptized in later life, that's the seal of being born again. That's a good thing. The focus of baptism is part of our Lenten observance as well. So my question is this. When you look at the crucifix and see Jesus there, or maybe if you have the courage to watch the Passion of the Christ again and spend all those hours seeing Jesus beaten and bloodied and nailed to the cross for you, you understand how serious God is about your sin and my sin. You realize how serious he is about saving you. You realize how serious he is when he says, I love you. You are mine. How serious he is about having you live in his heaven forever. Yes, your baptism means that these words are for you. Let's look at these words now. And I want you to make them personal. As I told the children in the children's message, here it is. We're going to read this, but when we get to the brackets there, put in your name. And don't be bashful. You can say it loudly. This is God's doing. You can celebrate this, Art. I want to hear you say Art nice and loud, okay? Okay, he nodded his head. But this is yours personally, your treasure from God. For God so loved Dave that he gave his only Son, that Dave, who believes in him should not perish, but eternal life. That's your promise. What do we just sing? Our response to this promise, Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done, and justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good. That's yours. And guess what? We walk out the doors, and what do we get to share? We get to share that message with the world, for God so loved the world out there. And we get to share that. How blessed we are. So on this day, may you celebrate the fact that that big question has been saved. How can, has been answered. How can I be saved? Simply answered by John 3:16. Your Jesus, who's done it all for you. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace, his joy, his strength, his everything. Amen. Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone here, and especially to our guests. We invite you to come and worship with us again soon. A couple things to remind you of. Choir practice has begun. Wednesday, after the evening Lenten service, choir will be practicing. Again, we have services at 10:30 and 7 p.m., but no dinner. We do need to ask for volunteers, maybe the same folks from last year, whatever, would like to help out with the Easter breakfast. I think we'd still like to have that. So please let me know or call the office if you're interested in helping with the Easter breakfast. And now, I almost forgot. What's 60 plus 60? 120 years of marriage together for Art and Grace. Congratulations. You want to stand up so we can see you? Can we do that? This is very special. God bless you too. What a wonderful example. Younger folks, look, there you go. There you go. We close now with our final prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee.